I've had it, Robert Arctor thought. He lay alone in the dim light of his bedroom, on his back, staring grimly at nothing. Under his pillow, he had his .32 police special revolver. At the sound of Barris's .22 being fired in the backyard, he had reflexively gotten his own gun from beneath the bed and placed it within easier reach. A safety move, against any and all danger. He hadn't even thought it out consciously. But his .32 under his pillow wouldn't be much good against anything so indirect as sabotage of his most precious and expensive possession. As soon as he had gotten home from the debriefing with Hank, he had checked out all the other appliances and found them okay, especially the car. Always the car first in a situation like this. Whatever was going on, whoever it was by, it was going to be chicken shit and devious. Some freak without integrity or guts lurking on the periphery of his life, taking indirect pot shots at him from a position of concealed safety. Not a person, but more a sort of walking, hiding symptom of their way of life. There had been a time, once, when he had not lived like this, a .32 under his pillow, a lunatic in the backyard firing off a pistol for God knew what purpose, some other nut, or perhaps the same one imposing a brain print of his own shorted out upstairs on an incredibly expensive and valued cephscope that everyone in the house, plus all their friends, loved and enjoyed. In former days, Bob Arctor had run his affairs differently. There had been a wife, much like other wives, two small daughters, a stable household that got swept and cleaned and emptied out daily. The dead newspapers not even opened, carried from the front walk to the garbage pail or even, sometimes, read. But then one day, while lifting out an electric corn popper from under the sink, Arctor had hit his head on the corner of a kitchen cabinet directly above him. The pain, the cut in his scalp, so unexpected and undeserved, had for some reason cleared away the cobwebs. It flashed on him instantly that he didn't hate the kitchen cabinet. He hated his wife, his two daughters, his whole house, the backyard with its power mower, the garage, the radiant heating system, the front yard, the fence, the whole fucking place and everyone in it. He wanted a divorce. He wanted to split. And so he had, very soon, and entered by degrees a new and somber life, lacking all of that. Probably he should have regretted his decision. He had not. That life had been one without excitement. With no adventure, it had been too safe. All the elements that made it up were right there before his eyes, and nothing new could ever be expected. It was like, he had once thought, a little plastic boat that would sail on forever without incident until it finally sank, which would be a secret relief to all. But in this dark world where he now dwelt, ugly things and surprising things, and once in a long while, a tiny, wondrous thing spilled out at him constantly. He could count on nothing. Like the deliberate evil damage to his Altec cephalochromoscope, around which he had built the pleasure part of his schedule, the segment of the day in which they all relaxed and got mellow. For someone to damage that made no sense, viewed rationally. But not much among these long, dark evening shadows here was truly rational, at least in the strict sense. The enigmatic act could have been done by anyone, for almost any reason, by any person he knew or had ever encountered. Any one of 8 dozen weirdheads, assorted freaks, burned-out dopers, psychotic paranoids with hallucinatory grudges acted out in reality, not fantasy. Somebody, in fact, he'd never met, who'd picked him at random from the phone book. Or his closest friend. Maybe Jerry Fabin, he thought, before they carted him off. There was a burned-out, poisoned husk. Him and his billions of aphids, blaming Donna. Blaming all chicks, in fact, for contaminating him. A queer.